So I mentioned to you, if you were able to attend all of the conferences, that you can gain a plenary indulgence at the end of a mission. So I will be able to give you that blessing after the conference itself. So I'll go back to the altar, and I'll give you that blessing. So do take advantage of that. As I mentioned, the plenary indulgence. I mean, it's a great grace that God gives to us, that we have the possibility of all of our sins and then all the punishment that is due to them to be remitted. And so, as I say, take advantage of that. With the Stations of the Cross, you can offer that for your own soul, a plenary indulgence that is you're able to receive, or you can apply it to the poor souls in purgatory. So, but remember, we can only gain one plenary indulgence per day. So just to keep that in mind. So now we've come to the last conference for this preparation for the Sacred Triduum, the Sacred 3 Days. And the purpose, as I mentioned at the beginning of these conferences, is to give us some food for thought, some things to consider, some things to try to help us then to prepare for the Sacred Triduum, the Sacred 3 Days that the Church gives to us in preparation for the great feast of Easter. We prepare liturgically, we prepare for that. And so with these conferences, taking a bit on the Passion of our Lord and what he suffered, also the gifts that he has given to us, the gifts being the priesthood and then the Blessed Sacrament. And so that's kind of where we finished with last night. And so then tonight we go into basically Good Friday, the events of Good Friday. Obviously some of it takes place still on Thursday night before our Lord is apprehended and brought and where he offers his life, the sacrifice of his life for all of us. Something to consider, something to think about, that it was because of all of us that our Lord came into this world and that he did sacrifice his life. We see from the Stations of the Cross how it mentions that it is the weight of our sins that weigh our Lord down. It is the weight of all of our sins that make our Lord fall. And it will also be the weight of our sins that make him suffer his agony in the garden, where our Lord suffers. And so that is then the scene that we turn. Because after our Lord gave his talk, his discourse to the apostles, basically the Last Supper was done. There was nothing between him and his death. So therefore, at that point, he leads the disciples out. And so from after hearing his discourse, most likely that the apostles were willing to follow our Lord anywhere. They were prepared to follow him after what he had said to them, calling them friends, beseeching them, too, to sacrifice their lives. So in a way, they probably followed in silence, maybe in awe, a sense of awe, of now following the Master. And so he would lead them to the Garden of Gethsemane, a place that they had probably been many times to pray, to talk, to think. But this night, there must have been something different that they could recognize. There was something different, the imminent danger that was going to happen. And our Lord says to them, "Sit you here till I go yonder and pray. Pray lest you enter into temptation." And so to say that to the apostles, for them, they must have wondered, what temptation? What do we have to fear? And why is he telling us this? Again, because the apostles did not quite grasp what our Lord would have to suffer, or at least did not accept it, did not want to accept it. And so our Lord went inside the gate. He beckoned then Peter, James, and John to follow him. So these three that are set aside, these three that are set apart from the other apostles, the two sons of Zebedee, and then obviously St. Peter, the leader. And so he beseeches them to come and follow him. As I mentioned, these were the same three that were brought to Mount Tabor to see his transfiguration, to see him in his glory. And so with that, his humanity was absorbed in his divinity with the transfiguration. Now, as the author says, it's almost as if his humanity seemed to oppress him, to weigh him down, because of what he would have to undergo. And so our Lord begins to grieve, carrying this burden with him. And even in a point of almost being sad, as if looking to these three for help. And that is why our Lord brings them to him, asks them to be vigilant and to pray. And this is where our Lord says, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death. Stay you here and watch with me." So these three are drawn to him. They're drawn to our Lord because he calls them. But yet, they're almost repelled by the suffering. So our Lord falls down against a stone, and the agony begins. And this is where our Lord becomes absorbed with understanding the sins of mankind, of seeing that very clearly. And through the sins, seeing those that would reject him. And that is where his agony begins. And so our Lord, famous words of our Lord, of asking, "If thou wilt remove this chalice from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." So an immediate acceptance of the will of the Father, realizing of what he will have to suffer. But the lesson to be learned, that at times for us, it is hard for us to accept the divine will. It is hard for us to be in accordance with that divine will. And so he shows that to us, that not always will it be easy. Not always will we be so accepting of that. But then our Lord also shows to us immediately, "Thy will be done." His acceptance of it. And so, this is where we understand the man of sorrows. There's a spiritual book by Archbishop Sheen to where he talks about how truly our Lord is this man of sorrows. The sorrows and the suffering that he underwent is because of all of us, because of all of our sins, the sins of mankind. Because remembering that our Lord, being perfect, he is God, he is completely innocent, and yet he bore all of this for all of us, this weight, this burden that he had. He bore the sins of mankind upon his shoulders. That is what he suffered in his agony. That is what he carried with the cross. And that is why it was so heavy, because of the weight of all of our sins. And so we can also consider the point of our Lord being completely alone. He calls and he draws the three apostles to him. He asks them to pray. And our Lord is alone. Our Lord is completely alone at this time, suffering. And that is why we also have the words of our Lord. "I have come to look for one to comfort me, and I found none." I mean, these famous words of our Lord. Do we meditate upon these words? Do we apply them to our own soul? Of when our Lord says that he looks for comfort from us, and he finds no one to comfort him. And so that is something to meditate upon. That is something to think about, especially then in the anticipation of what would happen on Good Friday. And this is what our Lord suffers. This is what our Lord is undergoing on Thursday night, after he had given all to the apostles, that he would take them and he would bring them to the garden. And this is what would start, what our Lord would suffer on Good Friday. It was the beginning of that. So our Lord, being, yes, alone, he's deserted by his apostles. He will be denied, especially by St. Peter, and then finally betrayed. And this is by his apostles, the ones that were with him for 3 years. And so that is why our Lord would complain and say about what his own would do to him. Or what his own would do to him. Not even considering the Roman soldiers. Not even considering then the Jews. But his own people, the apostles, and then obviously all of us. But yes, granted, we can see what the Jews, his own people, rejected him. Because it was not what they wanted. They wanted a material king, and our Lord, that is not why he came into this world. And that's what we recognize in the last gospel. His own people knew him not. And so this is what our Lord had to suffer. This is what our Lord had to undergo in the garden. So then we have to pose the question. So this is what our Lord suffered. This is what our Lord underwent. That is why for us we have to ask, what have we have done to our Lord to desert him? What have we done to our Lord to deny him? And then even to betray him, as I mentioned, of how our mortal sins are the same thing as Judas, betraying our Lord, handing him over, basically telling our Lord, we want nothing to do with you. So that's how we can desert and betray and deny him today, through our sins. And that is the burden that our Lord carried for all of us. He carried all of our sins. But that is one of the things that is said of our Lord, made in all things like to man, sin alone excepted. As I say, he was God. He is sinless. So he was made in all things like us, having a body, soul, but our Lord was sinless, and yet he had to suffer for all of our sins. He had to be scourged, suffer his agony, his passion, carry the cross, and then finally die on the cross for all of us, because of our sins. And so that is why it should be very easy for us to meditate and to think during this time. Why, in a way, it should also be easy for us to have true contrition for our sins. All we have to do is to contemplate our Lord on the cross. We have to look at our Lord being scourged, being crowned with thorns. And it should be very easy for us to have that true contrition. And so in that 1 hour that he suffered his agony, he was atoning for all of our sins. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. It was the mission that he completed. That is why one of the 7 last words of our Lord, it is consummated, it is done. I have finished the work. I have finished what I have come to this world for. And so that is why when we think about the 7 last words of our Lord on the cross, And last night during the Station of the Cross, I mentioned to you, Sitio, I thirst. His thirst for souls. His willingness then to suffer and to die. Even for one soul. And so that is what we must try to contemplate and to think. That he bore all of the sins of mankind alone, completely alone, deserted by his apostles, even the ones that he called to him. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm sure for all of us, that bears the same truth. Our desires of things, of what we want to try to do, and because the flesh is weak, we end up not doing them. And it's one of the things that the author brings out that I thought was a very telling sign, that our Lord had to suffer this alone, completely alone. That not even his most blessed mother was there, not that she wouldn't have been there, but it was not God's will. Our Lady was faithful by the foot of the cross, but his agony he had to suffer alone. He had to undergo that completely alone. I mean, what a torment, obviously, it must have been for the Blessed Virgin Mary to realize the suffering that he was undergoing. But it was God's will that he would have to suffer this completely alone. And so even though he had chosen the three apostles, they were sleeping. So that's why when our Lord was done, he came and he found them, and he found them sleeping. And he asked them the famous question, "Could you not watch 1 hour with me?" That is echoed to St. Margaret Mary when our Lord asked for the adoration, the nightly adoration, the adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament, especially in preparation for Fridays, First Fridays. These famous words, "Could you not watch 1 hour with me?" And how again we can ask that question of ourselves. If we can't make it to the church, can we not watch 1 hour at home? Can we not try to spend this time with our Lord? But our Lord had been disappointed before. Disappointed by the apostles, but then also by others. The famous of the 10 lepers that came, looking to be cleansed, to be healed. Remember how our Lord remarks, "How come only one came back, and it's the stranger? Where are the other 9? Asking that question. The rich young man who asked our Lord, "What is it that I must do to follow you?" And our Lord says, "Keep my commandments." He said, "I've done this from my youth." And then our Lord says to him, "Sell all that they have and come follow me." And he went away. He went away because, obviously, he was too attached. He was too attached to his material things that he couldn't give them up. And so it even says in Sacred Scripture at that point that our Lord was saddened by that. Saddened because, yes, there is a soul that was a good soul, must have tried to follow the commandments of Almighty God, but yet couldn't let go. Couldn't let go of his material things. Disappointing our Lord. Our Lord weeping over Jerusalem, because he knew what would happen. And that is where we have the lamentations of Jeremiah. He laments the fact of Jerusalem. He tells it to convert. That is something also that is found in Tenebrae, as I mentioned. Tenebrae being Matin and Lauds, prayed on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. That you have these lamentations and lamenting the fact, Jerusalem, convert, come back. Come back to our Lord. But we realize it would not. It would have to be destroyed first. And now, after giving his apostles his precious body and blood, they went away, didn't watch with him, and then they would flee. And so that is why our Lord kind of reproaches his apostles, first asking the question, yes, could you not watch 1 hour with me? But he tells them, watch ye and pray that you enter not into temptation. A warning to them. Watch before you enter into temptation. And that's where he says, is famous, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You may have good intentions, but if you don't watch, you will fall. You will fall into temptation. And so we see some of the background of our Lord before being apprehended, of what he suffered and what he went through. The sweat of blood. Even before they had laid hands upon our Lord, he had already been pouring out his blood for mankind. Because of the agony that he was suffering, that he was already shedding his blood. I mean, do we think about that? Do we consider that? And as I say, reading the gospel accounts, you can gain this knowledge of what our Lord suffered, what our Lord did, in order to even prepare for then his death on the cross. And so that is where then our Lord says to them, behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of sinners. It is this hour of darkness that has come, permitted by God. It is permitted by Almighty God. This is how it must play out. And so our Lord realized that. So he says, let us go. Behold, he that will betray me is at hand. And so our Lord knew Judas was coming. And so therefore Judas, after he had left the Last Supper, remember when we say, as he took the morsel, the devil entered into him. So then at that point he left to find his accomplices, the scribes and the Pharisees, to apprehend our Lord. That they would go to capture his master. And so Judas, very well, being one of the 12, knew exactly where our Lord would be. He knew the place that they would go. That's why I mentioned to you that the Garden of Gethsemane was something that was very familiar for them. But yes, there was something different this night that as they went. They must have known that there was something that was strange about this one night. And so our Lord had warned them. He'd warned them before. So I read to you from the author. He said, if the world hate you, know ye that it had hated me before you. If you had been of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember my word that I say to you, the servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. That's found in John 15. This warning that our Lord gives to them, that realize that the world will hate you because it has hated me. It will persecute you because it already has persecuted me. Because no one is greater than the Master. And so he tries to warn and to help the apostles to understand that, to understand what they will have to undergo. If they want to be a true follower of our Lord Jesus Christ, they must follow the Master in everything. And as I said, all of the apostles, except the beloved apostle St. John, they were martyred. They gave up their life too. St. John, they tried to martyr, but God protected him from that. And so they all gave of their life. They followed the Master in that. Of him, the sacrifice of his life. And that is, yes, the key for us to understand the events of Good Friday. It was the sacrifice of his life. The ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice that is given. That he would lay down his life for his friends. No greater act than laying down his life for his friends. And so that is why then, when they come, our Lord said, "Whom do you seek?" When they say Jesus of Nazareth, he said, "I am he," they all fall back. You would think, with them all falling down, that they would get an idea that maybe they should not be doing this. But it was God's plan. I mean, you would think that would be a subtle hint to them as they all fall back twice. That this is one that is all powerful. But our Lord was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Again, these words are repeated for us. In each of the days in Tenebrae, as I say, the liturgy that the Church brings to us in these sacred 3 days is amazing. There's so much there. I mean, it would be good to try to just to read and to see what the Church is bringing out for us to meditate upon. That these famous words about our Lord, obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. It is something that we repeat. And so now the shepherd was struck. The sheep will be scattered. When our Lord is apprehended, the apostles flee. And so the good shepherd is struck. He is taken. So Judas still had his chance to repent, but he was too hardened at this point. He betrayed our Lord with a kiss, because that was a sign to those to apprehend our Lord is the one that he would kiss. But he still had his chance. He still had his chance to repent from what he was to do. But yes, he was hardened. Judas had heard Simon Peter proclaim in the name of them all that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He had heard this. He understood it. And yet he still went through with this. And so one of the things that Father Goodyear brings out, we know one of the last words of our Lord was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But the author says he couldn't say that of Judas. He knew what he was doing. He knew full well that this was the Son of God. It's an interesting point. Our Lord's executioners, yes, maybe in a way they had no clue. They were doing what they're told. And obviously you can see Longinus, that after he stabs our Lord with the sword, he realized what was going on. But he realized that. But before that, the majority of them probably had no idea. They mocked our Lord, yes. They blasphemed our Lord. They had heard about what he had claimed or what he was claiming to be. But Judas, he knew better. And so with all of that, knowing all of that, our Lord still reaches out to Judas, "Friend, whitherto art thou come? Why do you come?" But with that friend, still calls him a friend, just like the night before, when he talked to them in the discourse. "But I call you friends now. That you are the chosen ones. You are to share in my eternal priesthood. I call you not servants, but friends." Striking words that our Lord gives to them in his discourse. Very striking words. So our Lord says, "Judas, dost thou betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Do you betray me with a kiss?" A sign of affection, obviously. So the deed had been done. So at that point, Peter strikes again, strikes this time with his sword, cuts off the ear, of the high priest's servant. And so our Lord has a last lesson to teach Peter. As I say, his impetuous nature can be a good thing, can get him into trouble. And so that is where it has to be focused. But our Lord tells him, the kingdom of God is not dependent upon the sword. Our Lord did not come and try to conquer by violence. And so he has to tell him, "Peter, put up your sword." And our Lord says, "If I wanted to, I could have legion of angels coming down to fight, to battle, to whatever, to keep this from happening. But it is not God's will." And that is why our Lord says, "But this is your hour, the hour of darkness." To consider that. To consider what our Lord is saying. That it was God's will to allow then this hour of darkness to take place, because that is what was needed, was necessary for the redemption of mankind. Maybe for them thinking, okay, well, we'll get rid of this Jesus of Nazareth, we'll be done with him. Little did they know. But this was necessary, that it was permitted by God to happen this way. And so now, with this hour of darkness, yes, the sheep, they flee, they scatter. They run from the Master. And then we read in Sacred Scripture, obviously, St. Peter then will follow, whether it's out of curiosity, whether to see what is going to happen. It's certainly not at that point to defend our Lord, because he denies our Lord. And so as our Lord is taken away, yes, he may follow from a distance. And then when he comes to the courtyard, he denies our Lord three times. And as I mentioned too, it was something that struck him very deeply, was just the look of our Lord. A look of reproach. Basically, "I'd warned you. You said you wouldn't, but you did." And so as I mentioned to the two characters of Judas and then St. Peter, they both betrayed our Lord. They both denied our Lord. One handed our Lord over, Judas, and the other denied our Lord, denied he had anything to do with him. Even though they told him, well, your voice betrays you, you sound like this Jesus of Nazareth, we saw you with him, would not admit to it, denied it. He would deny that, denying our Lord. And that is why many of the spiritual authors will say that our Lord asked him three times, do you love me? To, in a way, to prepare for this threefold denial. And remember the last time that our Lord asked St. Peter, he finally is, I guess, a bit frustrated, saying, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And that is where he tells him to feed the sheep, feed the flock, take care of them. And so he gives this charge to Peter. And he prayed for Peter, as I mentioned last night. He prays for Peter to be strong and to help the others, because he gave him this charge of being the vicar of Christ, to be their head, to be the representative on earth for them, to strengthen them in their first mission. But it's not after we see what St. Peter went through. St. Peter sometimes not willing to accept the will of God, but then also denying our Lord Jesus Christ when our Lord needed him most. Our Lord needed him. He's God. He doesn't need any of us. But after all he had given to his apostles, of how that denial was represented for all of them in the sheep being scattered. Because in a way, they all denied our Lord by fleeing, by running away, of leaving our Lord standing there alone, apprehended and taken away. Them probably going back, running, thinking to themselves, I thought he said he was God. Who knows what they were thinking at that point? Who knows what was going through their minds, except from the fact of they wanted nothing to do with him at that point, because they were afraid. They were fearful, and that's why they went and hid in the upper room. They were afraid of what would happen. And so that is why, for us to meditate and to think about these sacred 3 days, of how all of the events that took place on these days lead up to the resurrection of our Lord, of how they lead us to the joyful resurrection. But as our Lord would say, if you want to be with him in his resurrection, in his glory, you must pass through the passion. You must suffer too. Kind of the famous saying, no pain, no gain. That we have to undergo and to go through that. That we cannot just try to go toward the glory without having to suffer. To suffer through our own sufferings, our own crosses, in order to try our faith and to make it stronger. And so that is what, with these sacred 3 days coming up, to pray for. A strong faith, a desire. A desire to serve our Lord, a desire to accept his will, to where we can say with our Lord, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will. And that is what is important for us to try to see and to try to consider during this time. So do pray for that. And as I say, if you're able to take part in the sacred triduum, if not, at least, at the very least, to try to read through the liturgy. You know, if you're not able to make it for some of the ceremonies, read through the ceremonies. Try to see what the church brings to our meditation. For us, what we need to consider during this time in order to rejoice at the resurrection of our Lord. And God willing, it will be our own, we can say, a resurrection with our Lord. And so, God will reward your generosity for trying to make it to this mission. Any of the ceremonies that you were able to, whether Stations of the Cross, and as I say, I encourage you to try to make a good confession during this time. There's many opportunities for a confession. God willing, it will be able to meet all of the needs for all of you, that we have that. So now I'll give you the blessing for your participation in the mission itself. As I say, you can gain a plenary indulgence under the normal conditions. And then we'll sing Compline, and then I'll be available for confession.